Hello, radio friends. Welcome to a Back to the Bible radio broadcast, an outreach ministry of the Hoopers Creek Baptist Church. My name is Pastor Philip Youngblood, and we want to thank you for tuning in today, and we pray that the broadcast is a blessing to you as you listen.
Thank God at this time we've got the youth choir from the Hoopers Creek Baptist Church. They're going to come around and sing, "I'm Glad I'm Saved."
I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad I'm free.
I'm glad I'm free.
I'm glad I'm free.
I'm glad I'm covered
by the blood of Christ.
Sins away, I'm glad I'm saved.
Two of the message, but I want to read to you just a section out of John chapter 10 because we are getting to the point where we're going to be speaking about the porter. The Bible says in John 10:3, "To him that openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out." There's three things that mark the genuine shepherd. First, he entered into by the fold, by the door. He didn't come up some other way. He also entered by the door through the porter. He came by the porter. It was him that opened the door. And then thirdly, he had to be approved by the sheep. The sheep had to recognize his voice. And so there was a threefold security measure put in place when the shepherd came back to pick up his sheep. We're going to pick up now where we left off yesterday. This is going to be part two of the message. And I see tonight also this. Jesus met all the requirements which evidenced and pointed to the fact that Jesus was the true shepherd. But have you ever noticed that the Pharisees seemed to be those who didn't respond by love and by helps and by compassion, but seemed like that every time that the Pharisees are mentioned, they're always mentioned in the areas of brutal force and judgment and some type of weird, just cruelty to people. Have you ever noticed that? It's almost like that their concern is not on the people, that their concern is on their religion and men looking right and keeping everything dotted perfectly and every T crossed. Have you ever noticed that when reading the Word of God? There's a reason for that. They're doing it out of a heart and a flesh, not recognizing the fact that they're sinful and they need a Savior too. Amen. Let me just go ahead and tell you, the Bible said over here in Romans 3:23, "For all," say all with me, "all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Even those Pharisees, amen. They were descendants of Adam, amen. Just like you and I are descendants of Adam. And so They're attacking Jesus with words for doing something phenomenal on the Sabbath. He healed a man who had been blind from his birth. What's wrong with that? Somebody tell me. What's wrong with that? I mean, somebody that's been blind from their birth, well, wouldn't it be a glorious and wonderful thing to receive their sight? Absolutely, amen. What in the world's wrong with that? And how could anybody say, boy, that's a horrible and that's a wicked thing? I just don't understand it. It didn't match up with their religion, you see. And that's what made them mad. Once again, this whole thing is about Jesus who healed a blind man on the Sabbath. Now in the text, the blind man is catching the third degree because he simply got healed on the Sabbath. I mean, just that's the only thing that's going on here. So they bring his parents down and they begin to interrogate his family and they begin to ask them what they know. Look at verse number 18 and in chapter number 9. But the Jews did not believe concerning him. This was, they already asked I don't want to call him the blind man. He's not blind anymore. So they begin to ask this man who had been healed. There we go. They begin to ask this man that had been healed, his encounter, his testimony, what had happened to him. But the Bible says right there in verse number 18, but the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight until they had called his parents of him which that had received his sight, and they asked them, saying, is this your son who ye say was born blind? How then doth he see now? And his parents answered them and said, we know that this is our son and that he was born blind, but by what means he now seeth, we know not. Or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He's of age, ask him. He shall speak for himself. Oh, Lord. That'll get you in trouble with the Pharisees. They'll end up wanting to kill him here in a minute, amen. So these words spake his parents because they feared the Jews. See that? For the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. We're going to excommunicate. We're going to cleanse this place of anybody who claims to be a follower of Christ or claims to be Christ. We're going to send them out of here. Therefore, said his parents, he's of age, ask him. Then again called they the man that was blind and said unto him, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. He answered and said, whether he be a sinner. They're talking about Jesus. Well, I'm going to tell you something. He's not no sinner. Praise God. He came to die for sinners. Amen. There's no fault found in him. Amen. Like Pilate said. I'll say to you this. He's spotless. He's without blemish. Amen. Thank God he's the qualified one. He's the lamb that God sent. Amen. He's a perfect lamb. Thank God. He's not a sinner. No, he came to die for sinners. Notice what they say, whether he be a sinner or no. The Bible says, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. Then said they to him again, what did he to thee? How opened he thine eyes? And he answered them, I told you already, and ye did not hear. Wherefore would you hear it again? If I told you 10 times, would you ever hear it? Would you ever get it through years? Will ye also be his disciple? Then they reviled him. He asked, boy, you talking about putting them to it. He turns to them accusers and he said, I'm talking about this man had been healed. He turned to him and says, I done told you one time who done this account. And if I tell you again, will you be his disciples? Are you going to be his followers? If I tell you 20 times, are you going to ever end up being his followers, his disciples? Notice their response. Then they reviled him and said, thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciple. And we know that God spake unto Moses. As for this fellow, we know not from whence he is. The man answered and said unto them, why herein is a marvelous thing that ye know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened mine eyes. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God, he doeth his will, him he heareth. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man, this is a blind man talking, he said,
heard that any man open the eyes of one that was born blind, if this man were not of God, he could do nothing. And they answered and said unto him, thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us? Notice this next line. And they cast him out. How despicable, how obnoxious for somebody to walk in a church and say to somebody who's had the miracle of God upon their life and turn around and then push them out because they've had an encounter with God. Now, my point about this is this. When you don't know who he is, this is how you'll act. It's going to be all about you. It's going to be all about your life. It's going to be about all that you want. And this is what I think I see. I think I've started seeing people who are trying to make church or religion what they want it to be. They want to take it so far, and they want to stop, and they want to continue in their sin. They want to live any way they want to live, and they want to continue their lifestyles and all those things. That's religion. It is no relationship, and there will be no progress. There'll be no building block. You've lost the foundation, friend. If your life, and look here, if your Christian life's not built upon Christ, it's a false Christianity. You're following a lie, amen. He's not your shepherd, amen. You are the one leading your life. And I'll tell you something, it doesn't feel good to get chastised at times, but I want to tell you something, it's what the shepherd has to do to correct the sheep, amen. Boy, I see these things taking place, and boy, Christ begins to lay it on. Look, if I may, I want to direct your attention to chapter number 10 and verse number 10. Look at that. I want to read this just one more time. He said, the thief cometh not before to steal, kill, and destroy. I'm come that you might have life, that you might have it more abundantly. I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is the hireling and careth not for the sheep. Once again, he's talking about these Pharisees. He's just nailing them. He's ribbing them hard because these Pharisees are trying to bring people to themselves and not to Christ. I am the good shepherd and knoweth my sheep and am known of mine. Now, what I want you to see is this. John chapter number 10, verses 10 through 14 speaks of two things. It speaks of the hireling, those that are working and doing things a different way than the true shepherd would do it, amen. They're not qualified. So what we're seeing is this, two different ways on how you treat the sheep. The Pharisees called the man who had been blind a disciple of Jesus, and they called themselves disciples of Moses. They're following the law, but Christ came to be the fulfillment of the law, amen. And so if you're thinking like Moses, then there's no way that you could ever fulfill those laws. Have y'all ever read those laws? Boy, I'm going to tell you something. I mean, strict, hard to follow, amen. We fail every single day. But what the law did was show us who we are. We're sinners in need of a Savior, amen. And thank God, aren't you thankful that Christ is the fulfillment of the law, amen. He's leading all men unto himself, amen, who is the correct shepherd. Christ throughout this passage has shown how that he entered the door into the sheepfold, for he had come working the works of God, and had also shown himself to be validated in the eyes of the owner of the fold. And he was therefore approved to be the shepherd of the flock. Some say it this way, he can be seen as the door, he can be seen as the porter, he can be seen as the shepherd who giveth his life for the sheep. That's what Christ said. I am come that you might have life and have it more what? Abundantly.
Thank you for tuning in to another Back to the Bible radio broadcast. We would like to invite you to come out and be a part of our church. We are located at 71 Hoopers Creek Church Road. That's in Fletcher, North Carolina, 28732. If you'd like to write us, our mailing address is P.O. Box 1856, Fletcher, North Carolina, 28732. Also, check us out on the World Wide Web at hooperscreekbaptist.com or download our church app, where you can get the verse of the day and enjoy some great preaching and singing from our choir. Have a great day. Tune in tomorrow for another Back to the Bible radio broadcast.